1 Kings chapter 10 is pretty awesome. All the things that got said before I had to open my mouth, because it all seems to go with what I want to talk about this morning. Pastor's talking about the news. You watch that stuff and you get depressed and you get scared and you get angry. And as a matter of fact, what was it? Me and Brother Michael, we had an app on our phones where it was pretty unbiased. It didn't lean one way or the other, and it was just kind of like, here's some facts. And Brother Michael had it for about a week, and then he had to get rid of it because it was keeping him up at night. He had to get rid of it. He had to get rid of that thing. And people, and Christians especially, they get in that mode where they hear something on the news and they see something, and it's all they can think about, and that's all they can talk about is what's going on in the news. And what you'll end up having is you'll have a Christian who's more of a witness for Fox News or CNN than they are for Christ. So, you know, it's fine if you want to keep up on that stuff, but you got to watch it. You got to be careful. Like Pastor said, some of it's pushing Rachel hate, and I got nothing wrong with Rachel. She seems cool. She seemed cool to me. We've had no issues. I know Ben's pretty fond of her himself, but it's just crazy. It's crazy how far the news will go. All right? 1 Kings chapter 10, and then I like what Brother Ron said. Brother Ron said, get your answers from God. Get your answers from God. And that goes along with what I'm talking about. What I want to talk about this morning is know your stuff. Know your stuff. And 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 1 is where we'll start. It says, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in here. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you help me not to squander it, dear Lord. I pray that you'll help me to get across what you've shown me. I pray that it'll be a help to somebody, and I'm not just up here speaking empty words into open air. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll use me this morning. I pray that somebody will get some help of it from it. And bless the other Sunday school classes downstairs. Help those little kids. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so here in 1 Kings, we see that Solomon's fame is continuing to grow. And people from surrounding countries and stuff like that, they're starting to take notice of Solomon. They're starting to take notice. As a matter of fact, in verse 1, it says, the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. There was something specific that people were hearing about Solomon. People weren't just hearing that Solomon was a great king, that he was wise, that he had amassed all this wealth, that he had built these houses. It wasn't just that, but people were also hearing who was blessing Solomon, what he was, why he was doing it, who he was doing it for. And the queen of Sheba wanted to check Solomon out. She wanted to check Solomon out. So the Bible says that she shows up and she's got all of this stuff, and she goes to Solomon and she's got some questions. The Bible says that she's got some hard ones. She's gonna give him the most difficult questions that she can think of. Then the Bible says that after that she had communed with him, or it says that she communed with him all that was in her heart. Now, to commune with somebody is to have a deep conversation. Is to intensely talk about something with someone. So she comes and she says, listen, Solomon, I got some questions for you. I don't have answers to them, and I want you to answer my questions. She's going to try him. That's exactly what she's doing. She's going to try him. She's going to see if he knows what he believes, why he believes it, why he acts the way he acts, and she's going to see if he's real about the way he lives his life. So after that, she tells him all that's on his heart, all that's on her heart, and he answers all of her questions, everything. She holds nothing back. He covers it all. He answers it all. And then in verse 4 it says, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." She noticed Solomon's testimony. She noticed the blessings of the Lord on his life. She noticed the way he acts and stuff. She noticed the surroundings around him, but she didn't notice it until after he had answered her questions. She didn't pay any attention to the stuff he had. She didn't pay attention to the servants he had. She didn't pay attention to the way they were dressed. She didn't care about any of it until she found out what Solomon knew. That was the first thing on her mind. It was the first thing on her heart. She had some hard questions that I imagine she was looking for answers to for quite some time. She had some questions that nobody else could answer, and she heard that there was the wisest king of Israel. He was so much wiser than his father. Nobody could bring anything to him that he couldn't figure out a solution to. And she said, if there's anybody who's going to answer my questions, it's going to be him. So she shows up with all of her stuff. She says she's got a bunch of camels and spices and all this other stuff. And right away, she starts asking him the questions. And after their conversation, after she gets her answers, then she notices what he has. Then she notices what the Lord's done for him. Then she notices the work that he's done. That's why occasionally throughout this Christian life, you're going to come across somebody. You're going to across somebody who's going to teach you the importance of knowing your stuff. They're going to teach you the importance of knowing your stuff. Let's look at 2 Timothy real quick. I keep looking up at the clock in the back like I'm good at telling time or something. But if I was good at that, I wouldn't be late to everything, so. I'm just kind of judging it like vaguely from over here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So it's saying, hey, listen, the same stuff that you're hearing being taught, you should be able to go and teach it to other people. You should be able to go and teach it to other people. Let's look down at verse number 7, it says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Brother Ron talked about getting your answers from the Lord. Amen. All right, getting your answers from the Lord. "Consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things." You know what? Somebody else who's been a very big influence on my life who says something along those lines all of the time? As a matter of fact, Brother Ken says it every time he gets up and preach. He says he used to hate pastor. And the pastor said, don't take my word for it. Check it out yourself. Check it out yourself. Hey, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. The only way that's going to happen is if you check it out yourself. Check it out yourself. Don't take his word for it. Let's look down at verse number 14. It says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what that tells me? There's a wrong way to do it, and if you're not careful, that's exactly what you'll do. All right? You got to study to show thyself approved. Don't study to show thyself smarter than the person next to you. Don't study to show thyself able to put somebody down or to make somebody look stupid. Study to show thyself approved so that when somebody comes to you with a hard question, you can answer it. Amen. You can answer it. Don't take somebody's word for it and just accept it as gospel and be like, well, you know, the CNN tells me that COVID's going crazy and we're all going to die again. We're all going to die for the second time this year, and I heard it once, so it's got to be true. All right? Don't do that. In any aspect of your life, whether it be the news cycle or whether it be somebody is just like, hey, you want to know what the Lord just revelated to me in the Bible that nobody's ever heard ever before? Be careful about that, okay? You got to be careful about that. Study to show thyself approved, all right? You don't want to be blown around with every wind of doctrine. You've got to know your stuff. The Bible puts an emphasis on knowing what you believe. Let's look at Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4, it says in, what did I write down? I wrote down verse number 4. In verse number 4, it says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So walk in wisdom towards them that are out. All right, so that are without. All right, so there's lost people out in the world. All right, I know that's something that is commonly known, but I feel like occasionally the church needs to be reminded of that. There are lost people out in the world, and they don't know any better. You do. Or rather, according to the Bible, you should. All right, so there's lost people. It says walk in wisdom towards them that are without. There are people that have no idea what the Bible says. There are people who have no idea what God says. There are people who have no idea who he is and never even heard the gospel. And it's your job to know your stuff and tell them about it. All right, so walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with, grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 15 it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Something that I have noticed when I am talking to somebody who doesn't go to church regularly, whether they be lost or saved and backslidden, inevitably, at some point, somebody goes, yeah, but why do you go to church all the time? Why do you believe what you believe? Why did you choose to do that? Is it because you just grew up and that's what somebody told you all the time? And the sad thing is that's the way most Christians are. They just grew up. They grew up in a place where the truth was given to them constantly. And when somebody says, is that why you go to church? And on the inside you go, well, actually, yeah. Listen, we're going to teach the kids. We're going to teach the kids the truth. That's what we're going to do. But every single one of them at some point, hey, teenagers, every single one of you at some point is going to have to go, you know what? I can't rely on what my mom and dad says all the time. I can't rely on what the teacher says all the time. I'm going to have to decide for myself to figure out what I believe, why I believe it, so that when somebody comes to me, I can give them an answer. I can give them an answer. Be ready always. Be ready always for when people ask you why you have hope. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you do what you do? Because somebody, somewhere is going to ask you. Count on it. Take it to the bank. Somebody's going to come to you and ask you about it. The world is full of all kinds of different people. All kinds of different people. And a lot of those people you witness to are going to have some questions. And some of them are going to be really, really hard. And God said, have an answer. And the problem in today's age is that some Christians are just too lazy in their study to be as effective as they could and as they should be for the Lord. I was telling, I don't think he's going to watch this, but I was telling my brother-in-law, we were up there, and one of the biggest problems he has with Christianity, and he grew up in church, by the way. he grew up in church, and he went to all the camps. He went to all the church services. He did it all. He was, you know, he was the quiet kid, from my understanding. And I didn't grow up with him or anything, but I'm told that he was the quiet kid growing up. And he looks back, and he's bitter, because he looked around at Christians who did not know what they believed, why they believed it, and all it was just a bunch of rules and harshness on them all the time. So he got bitter and he left. So now when somebody comes and is like, hey man, I've been praying for you. It would really be good to see you and your family get into church. All he can think of is he's got all these questions. And when he asks a Christian a question, he goes, yeah, but why would this happen? Or why would this happen? Why would this happen? Or why would God let this happen? Or something along those lines. He says it always comes down to this phrase from a Christian. Well, I guess you're just going to have faith. And he hates it. He hates it. He hates it when he asks a question and he's looking for an answer and they go, yeah, you know, just gotta have faith. And that's not good enough for him. So we're sitting down and we're talking and he's asking me some of these questions, and on the inside I'm going, wow. They said, there's an actual Bible answer for your question though. So he's getting mad time and time again because no Christian will give him a straight answer. And while sometimes it'll be a person who's backslidden that's just trying to be difficult, I'm starting to think that a lot of times it's because Christians don't have answers because they're not studying it out. And then when somebody comes and gives them a question, well, they just cop out and say, oh, well, I guess you just gotta have faith in what the Bible says. And lost people are getting mad time and time again because Christians are too lazy to actually answer their questions. Christians are getting too lazy about it. In 1 Kings chapter number 10, we'll go back there in 1 Kings chapter number 10. We went through verse number 4 and verse number 5, and we see that the queen noticed some things, just like the lost people in the world will. She noticed the house that he had built. It says that in verse number 4. It says, he noticed the house that he had built, just like the world is going to take notice on what you work for and who you work for and what you work towards. The world is going to take notice of that. She noticed the meat on his table. It says that in verse number 5. It says that she noticed the meat on his table. And the world, the lost people, are going to notice how the Lord blesses you and how he takes care of you. Well, they're going to notice that. It says that she noticed how happy the people were around him. Look at verse 8. It says, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. The people that he was surrounded with were always happy. There was no contention. There was no fighting between him and his friends. They just seemed happy. Amen. She noticed that. The world is going to notice your demeanor. The world is going to notice the people that are around you. Amen. If you're out in and you're striving with the world and you're out there laughing at the jokes and you're doing all of the stuff like you do at school or at work or anything like that, they're not going to notice a difference. They're not going to notice the difference. Instead, what they're going to notice is, oh, well, you know, he's kind of just like me. He's kind of just like me. So she noticed the people that were around him, the people he surrounded himself with, and how happy they were. It says in verse number 5, it says that she noticed their apparel. The world will look at you, and they will notice that you look different. Amen. You shouldn't fit in. You shouldn't, with the way you talk, with the way you dress, with the way you do things, you shouldn't fit in. You're a child of God. He's called you out of that. Amen. You shouldn't fit in. The world is going to notice how you look. How you look. If you're walking around in a this reference might go over some of the other, if you're walking around in an old school rock and roll t-shirt, like insert band name here. Or whatever. If you're walking around in a rap t-shirt, if you're walking around with something that you wouldn't wear in here, if you're walking around wearing that at school, they're going to take notice. They're going to notice. That's all there is to it. And they're going to make note. They might not call you out on it. They might not come to you right away, but they're going to file it away. And then when you get right at August Revival and you go to work and you're like, you know what? I'm going to be different. And they're going to go, really? Because you said you were different before. And you said you were different before that. And before that. And before that. They take notice. And it might not be a confrontation, but your words will be dead to them. They noticed the way he looked. She noticed how he went into the house of the Lord. The world and the lost, they are going to notice how you don't miss church. They're going to notice how you don't miss church. So many times somebody's going to be, hey, Wednesday, we got something going. Oh, I can't go. Got church. Really? Every Wednesday? Yep, every Wednesday, 7 o'clock, same time, every week. That's why I keep inviting you to come. You know where I'm going to be, and I want you to come. You know what I mean? You guys do church on Sunday morning, and then again on Sunday night? Yeah, twice in a day, twice in one day. Yeah. Man, you must really like church. Amen. Yeah, I do, actually. I do. Man, that's kind of weird. I don't really think so. Amen. They're going to notice it. They're going to notice how you don't miss. Oh, wait, you got a thing going on all week and you're going every day this week? Yeah. And there's like guest preachers who are coming because they like preaching so much that they'll go to other churches and do it. And then I like listening to preaching so much that I'm like, as soon as I get off work, I'm going to go listen to it. Every night, every single night. Man, maybe something cool is going on over there. If I'm starting to meet people who always want to go to church, maybe church isn't what I think it is. They're going to notice. They're going to notice how no matter how bad you want to do this thing that's fun, if it gets in the way of church, sorry, can't make it. Can't make it. Oh, baseball practice? Sorry, my kid's not going to be there. We got to go to church. After school function? Sorry, it's not going to happen. We got to go to church. We got to go to church. Oh, you want me to work on Sunday? Oh, I could use the overtime, but not sorry. Got to go to church. Got to go to church. They're going to notice. They're going to notice. However, this testimony that Solomon has here, before she pays attention to all of those things, she sees his wisdom. She sees his wisdom. The Bible has some things to say about wisdom. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. It says in verse number 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It says, hey, it's the principal thing. Get it. It's important. Get it. Don't overlook it. Get wisdom. Actively try to get it. Actively study out your Bible. Actively try to get more wise as you get older. Okay? Actively do it. It's a thing. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is far better, or is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. If the more wise you get, the more happy you'll be. Amen. It's invaluable. You can't buy it. People try to every day, but you can't. Seek it out. Get it. It's this important. The Bible says it's far more important than any money you could get. It's far more important than it'll make you happy. It'll keep peace in your life. get wisdom. It's important. Look at Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse, oh, my handwriting's terrible, 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Okay? That means you hear something. You're going to hear something, and you hear truth in here every week. This is why I love this church. It's because the church, the truth is not on the layaway. It's not in short stock. Like, you get it all the time while you're here, and I'm really thankful and happy about that. All right? So when you hear it, if you're wise about it, you'll go home and you'll seek more. Amen. You'll be hungry for it. You'll be back in the next church service being like, man, help me. Help me get smarter on the things concerning the Lord and how I should live. That if you're wise, you're constantly seeking it. Let's look at James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. In verse 5 it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you're lacking wisdom, if you think that you can't understand something, if somebody asks you a question and you don't have an answer for it, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to go find the answer. You're supposed to go find the answer. I'm talking to my brother-in-law and I go, listen, I promise you right here, right now, I don't know the answer to all your questions. You're going to hit me with some questions and I'm going to go, I don't know. And there are some things in the Bible, that concerning the Bible, that you do just have to have faith. But if there's an answer to it, I promise you, I'll go home and I'll try and figure out what the answer is. I'm not going to have the answers to everybody's questions. But when I come across a question I don't have an answer to, it's my job to go see if I can find it. And if I lack the wisdom and I get in my Bible, it tells me here in James 1:5, ask God for it. Ask God for the answer, and it says he'll give it to you.
Yeah, amen.
He'll give it to you. Yep. He's not going to hold it back from you. It says that he giveth it to all men liberally. If you're searching truth, if you are searching the answers to your questions, God will give it to you. God will give it to you. Now, sometimes the answers you're looking for aren't the answers you get. And you know, that's a different message and a different study altogether. You're just gonna have to take it. Sorry. Deal with it. All right. God will give you the answers that you're looking for if you ask him for them. If you ask him for them. But it also is on you to study it out. It's not gonna come to you in a dream, all right? Those times are past. You're not just gonna like fall asleep and then like wake up and be like, ah, revelations. All right? Like it's not how it works. You gotta study it out. There's work on your part. Work on your part. The Bible makes it very clear that you are supposed to be studying the Bible and gaining wisdom from it. And we have too many Christians who are what I like to call Grand Canyon Christians. You know, they're Grand Canyon Christians, and pastor, he's up here, and he yells, and he screams, and then sometimes the church members, they'll echo bits and pieces of it. But then when you get down into the nitty-gritty, you find out that they're just kind of empty. Which sounds kind of harsh, but it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. A lot of times we'll hear what somebody says, and we'll be like, oh man, that was a really cool tidbit. That was easy for me to remember because all the points started with the same letter. Or if you're Kenny Baldwin, they rhymed. And or Samson Ryman, they rhymed. So it's easy for me to remember, so now I can go out, and when I see somebody, I can echo bits and pieces. But then occasionally somebody will go, yeah, but what does that mean? And they're like, well, come to church and find out. Right? All right, so Grand Canyon Christians, all right, they echo, and occasionally it sounds really good. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty on what they know, you find out there's not much there. There's not much there. When you come across somebody who is searching for truth, there are going to be times where you can't give it to them, and it's your job to find it. Listen, your ABC prayers and your just have faith responses aren't going to work on everybody. All right, they're not going to work on everybody. What was it? A couple of years ago, we had VBS, and Brother Cameron Manarese preached, and it was on Monday. I think it was the first night of VBS, and 8 teenagers got saved. 8 teenagers got saved, and we started breaking them off in pairs. We're like, all right, I'll take 2 over here. You take 2 over there, and we're going to start working. So I lead 2 young men to the Lord, and we come back up to the teen service up here, and I'm like, man, where's Mark Shane at? And I look in the back, and he's still talking to the same kid back there. And he talked to that kid for about 10, 15 minutes because that kid had so many questions on what salvation was. And Michael Shane could not, in that situation, would be dangerous, can't do it, and if you're thinking you can get away with it, don't, cannot go, just repeat after me, or just have, faith or whatever. No. It's Michael Shane's job to have answers for that young man. It's your job to have answers for them. So get the answers. That's a dangerous game to play. Do you understand that if you're not careful, somebody could come to you genuinely seeking truth, and if you can't get it to them, they might walk away thinking that you're just some other phony Christian who has no idea what they believe or why they believe it, and they might go to hell because of it. And then sometimes what Christians do after that encounter is they'll come to their friends and they'll say, I came across another atheist that was just trying to give me a hard time with all their questions. It happens, and we act like we're persecuted because somebody genuinely does not understand, and they're looking to you for answers. And we act like we're persecuted because we feel dumb because we don't have them. Get over it. Get over it. It's not going to work all the time, and you got to have answers. They're going to think that you're phony. That you don't know why you believe what you believe, and do you live the way you live because mom and dad put rules on you and you don't know any different. And when you turn 18, you'll split out those doors, and that's what they look. Because like I said, when I said earlier that the world takes notice of things, guess what? They've seen Christians do it time and time again. You know how many people went to school with a Christian and the moment they turned 18 started doing everything that they were doing? And now you've got a bunch of adults who grew up with Christian kids, who went to work with Christian people, but they're just phonies. And they're not going to walk around, and they're not going to proclaim it all the time. You will have somebody who's in your face and is just wants to yell about fake Christians all the time. But for the most part, the world walks around, and they just make a mental note of it, and they don't get in your face about it until you want to witness. And then it's hard on you. Have the answers. Have the answers. The Bible tells you you have to do it. The Bible tells you you have to do it. Now listen. Study to show this up. I'm not saying you have to have a staunch opinion and a staunch stance on the gap. All right? I'm not saying that you need to be well-versed in the gap in order to talk to somebody out in the world because for the most part, none of them have even heard of it. For the most part, none of them even care. As a matter of fact, you talk to a lot of Christians and they don't even care. Like, why are we having this conversation? All right? The gap. You don't need to know about the gap to talk to somebody about the Lord. You don't. But you should at least know what you believe, why you believe it. You should know what, hey, young people, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep pointing out the young people because we work with the teens and that's just the way it is, right? So, hey, look, when somebody comes to you and says, why do you have these rules? Know why you have the rules. No. And if your answer is, because my mom said so, get it right. Get it right. Hey, I'm looking at these young people over here. You're safe right now. I'm looking at these ones over here. Look, if somebody comes to you and says, why do you act the way you act? Have a Bible answer. If your answer is, well, the pastor told me we just can't do that. They're not going to accept that. They're not going to accept that because he's just a man. But if you can go and go, well, God told me that I can't do that, then it holds some weight. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Now, there are some people that you just can't talk to. There are some people who are going to be coming, and they're just going to, it's their goal to be difficult. It's their goal to be difficult. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest in him, thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. All right, if they're coming to you and they're just there to waste your time, or if you're witnessing to somebody and somebody comes to you and they're just trying to ruin the moment, all right, just shut them out. Shut them out. Don't waste your time. You can talk to them at a different time if you want, but if somebody is coming to you and they have no intention on listening to what you have to say, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Because all you're going to do is get mad, and the more you talk to them and the more mad you get, the higher of a chance of you losing your testimony is. That's the way it is. I think it's over in Titus. It doesn't look like I wrote it down. But in Titus 3, I think it's Titus 3, verse 8 or verse 9, it tells you to avoid foolish questions. It tells you to avoid foolish questions, all right? When you're witnessing to somebody, they're going to want to talk about everything that they think is ridiculous in the Bible. They're going to want to do it. If they're not saved, don't go through all of the things that they think is ridiculous in the Bible. All right. A lot of times when I'm talking to somebody that's lost, I'll say, all right, we can talk about that later, but we can't get to these topics until me and you can come to an agreement on this topic, which is the gospel. Once we come to an agreement here, we talk about whatever else you want to talk about. But first, we have to get this taken care of. All right? So don't just be running around with foolish questions and be like, oh, I think I might know an answer to that and blah, 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 blah. Be wise in your knowledge, all right? Knowledge is having facts. Knowledge is having information. Wisdom is knowing how to use it, all right? So be wise. Be wise. The queen over in 1 Kings chapter 10 says that she had heard the stories in verses 6 to 8. We're about to run out of time here, so... In verses 6 to 8, it says, she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. She had heard stories, and if you're living right, people are going to hear about it. People are going to hear about it that you're living right. And she goes on to say that she did not believe it. She didn't believe the stories. She said, I didn't believe the stories, so I had to come and see for myself. All right? She noticed everything after the wisdom, okay? If you're living life the right way, and you're letting your, back up, take two, here we go. People will often say, and I've said this from behind this very pulpit before, people often say, well, I just let my life do the witness and I let my life do the talking. And that is a fine sentiment, all right? I'm 100% for you living right. I'm for it. But the Queen of Sheba paid no attention to any of that until Solomon opened his mouth and answered some questions. All right? I'm all for you living right. I'm all for you doing right and having a good testimony outside of this building and inside of it. But I'm all for you doing what the Lord wants you to do throughout your life. All right? But if you're not telling people that you're weird for the Lord, they're just going to think you're weird. They're just going to think you're weird. If you go, oh, sorry, I don't listen to that kind of music. Oh, all right. That's a little weird. But if you go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian and I don't really appreciate the language that's in there or what the song talks about. I have convictions about this sort of thing. Oh, okay, now I know why you do weird things. Amen. Now I know why you don't cuss. If you don't cuss, people are just gonna be like, I guess he just doesn't cuss. It's kind of weird to me. But if you say, oh, I don't cuss because I'm a Christian. Amen. Oh, okay, now I know. Now I know why you act the way you act. Listen, I'm all for you living right and having a good testimony to people out in the world, but tell them why. Amen. Otherwise, they're just going to go through life going, yeah, he's a little different. Amen. Tell them why you're different. Once they're not going to make the connection on their own. They're not. They're not going to do it. All right? So you have to tell them why. And then, once they know why you act the way you act, then they'll start asking you questions about things, and it's your job, it is your duty to have an answer. If you don't, and you don't search it out, you don't try to look it up so that you can help somebody who might be genuinely looking for truth, you're the one that's in the wrong. Full stop, period. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the Sunday school hour. Dear Lord, I thank you for the Faith Baptist Church people. Dear Lord, I pray that you will help us to seek out what it is that you have for us in the Bible and the lessons that we can learn from it and the wisdom that you give us. Dear Lord, I pray that we'll never get over it. I pray that we'll stay hungry for it. And I pray that we'll stay after it. And dear Lord, that way that when we go out into the world, we don't have to rely on some cop-out answers because we haven't done our jobs. Dear Lord, I pray that you help us to stay on top of it. I pray that you help us to be students of your Bible, dear Lord. I pray of your word. I pray that you'll help us to constantly learn things and grow and be better for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.